I guess we're short a couple of handouts. They're getting some more printed up, and they'll be out in just a second. So when they come out, raise your hand and they'll get to you if you need a copy. We are talking about the principle of holiness. And it's been what we've been talking about all summer. What's holiness? What's it look like? Holiness as a principle is what? We've been studying all summer, so I know you're going to get this answer really quickly. Holiness is what? Sister Borlick wants to say? That's all it is. To be like Christ. We are ambassadors, representatives of Christ, of God on the earth. Our behavior, our actions, our activity represents Christ. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than who we are. So we've been talking about pieces of holiness, but I don't ever want you to get the idea that this one lesson encompasses holiness, that any one thing encompasses holiness. So we want to take a look at tonight a very important part of holiness, the tongue. We did the tongue last week. My wife said, I looked at that tongue every time they put it up. I just kept looking at that person's tongue. So now you've got an eyeball to look at, dear. So we're going to talk about the principle of an eye and your eye and how important it is that your eye is holy. So Ecclesiastes 1 and 8 says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That's an interesting comment. When does your eye get full? When are you tired of seeing something beautiful? When are you tired of seeing majestic mountains or the ocean waves lapping at the shore or some beautiful landscape or some beautiful artwork? The Nazis at the last two or three years of World War II tried to capture all of the beauty of Europe. By capture, I mean they broke into churches, they broke into people's homes, they went into Jewish homes and took all of their artwork. They stole masterpieces, Michelangelo's The Virgin Mother, a very beautiful piece of art in marble. They took it all. They took it back into Germany and they put it in caves. There was probably 10 or 12, I don't know exactly, 10 or 12 caves that were mines. There was a salt mine, there was a copper mine, there were several mines that were deep enough underground that if they were bombed by the Allies, they wouldn't be destroyed. And they put thousands, literally thousands of pieces of artwork inside of not just caves, but also castles and storage areas. And they had thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of art because Hitler had an idea that when he got done conquering the world, he was going to create a museum, and he wanted all the beauty of the world that he could get his hands on and put it in this museum. So Michelangelo, some of the other famous artists from the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, he had captured all of their artwork. He didn't like the early 1900s. But he did capture their artwork, and he piled it up. And they never got tired of capturing artwork. There was no end to how much he wanted. I mean, I don't know, if you count 10,000 pieces of art, how long can you look at that? I mean, really. But your eye never tires. If you ever get married, young people, I'm glad you're in the room. If you ever get married, don't let your eye ever get tired of looking at your spouse. My wife tells me all the time, you can't really mean that. I said, well, I think you're beautiful. You can't really mean that. You don't mean that. You know, we just celebrated 43 years of marriage, and I still think she's beautiful. Last Thursday was our 43rd anniversary, and she walked by the other day, and I thought, wow, I'm a lucky guy. I've thought that for 43 years. Wow, I'm a lucky guy. She don't believe it. I can't convince her that that's the way I really feel, because she always, you don't feel that way. But it says right here, I'm biblical. The eye is never satisfied. You never get tired of seeing. Ask Matt Yater how much he wishes he could see today. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Let's pray, ask the Lord to help us as we take a look at His Word today. God, we thank You for Your great grace and abundant, overwhelming mercy. I pray, God, that You would help us today, that Your anointing would be upon our hearts and minds. Bind us together, God. Help us to realize that holiness draws us together and draws us to You. I pray, God, that You'd help us to see that in the principles we're looking at tonight, in Jesus' great name. Everybody said amen. Amen. So in your notes, you should see the blank lines as we walk our way through this. So we're going to talk about, first of all, biblical foundations. Point A, the eye then is the gate of the soul. Through the eye, perceptions are made, thoughts are provoked, emotions are stirred, judgments are determined. It's critical what you set before your eyes. Psalms 101:3, the psalmist David made a covenant with his eyes when he promised not to set any wicked thing in front of his eyes. Psalms 119:37, he asked God to give him power to turn mine eyes from vanity. Vanity, then, point A, refers to anything that is worthless, foolish, empty, and destitute of reality. Most of today's television shows. I'm amazed at the number of people that get caught up in some of this stuff, the housewives of wherever. The Kardashians. You name it. All we have a woman running for Congress now that her claim to fame is she's an influencer. She gets on YouTube and she's popular on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, one of those, and she's a very popular poster, which means she finds out what people like and then she posts what people like. Well, I guess she'd make a great congressman then, wouldn't she? So that's vanity. It's all about just being popular, just being liked, or just doing things to make other people happy. Vanity. Number five, why did David place such great value on what his eyes saw? Matthew 6:22 says, the light of the body is the eye. We read it a minute ago. So let's look at B. The eye is the light of the body. Matthew 22:23, Luke 11:34, the light of the body is the eye. When therefore the eye is single, again, see, the eye then is the primary source primary source of external information. You gather a great deal with your eyes. You can see further than you can hear. Say that again. You can see further than you can hear. Drive down a highway, curvy mountain road, you can see off way off in the distance, but you can't hear what's going on way off in the distance. So the eye is the primary tool for remembering. Experiments show, that's E, subpoint one, experiments show that the mind retains 65% of what it sees and hears simultaneously, but only 15% of what it hears alone. 65% of what it sees and hears, 15%. So if you see and you hear and you write it down, they say you can retain about 80% of what you're doing. It's really important to take notes. I've given you these sheets, and I don't know that everybody in the room likes these sheets, but it helps focus you, and when you're writing stuff down, you're more likely to remember because you're engaged. But seeing, which is why we have slides up, and hearing helps you remember. I've mentioned this before, but if you study your Bible, if you read and study your Bible, you get a visual clue where the scripture is. And you can, by looking, go, oh, I'm right there, because you've been there and your eyes have read it. And so your eyes can help you find scriptures. It's very important to read and read your Bible. It really does help you. Now, I do quite a bit of digital reading, and I've trained a lot of people on how to use computers. I find people have a very difficult time remembering. Can't remember the folder they put it in. Can't remember where they saved their files. Don't have really any connection or clue where you're actually doing work. And a lot of people wrestle around with, because you can't, it's hard to see. And you really have to work at a system that you're very familiar with, that you save your files in a certain position. Now, I've got files saved in folders all over the place, but that's because I'm very familiar with the system, and it makes a lot of sense to me, and I can go and find it visually very easy. But a lot of people wrestle with that because you don't connect what you're thinking about with what you actually see. And so you get lost in the process. It's very easy to get lost in the process. When I was training Paula to do balancing of QuickBooks, I always advocated for you to print out what's on QuickBooks, because you get it out on paper and it's much easier to go down and check, 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 check than it is on a computer. Because if you accidentally hit a button, it may scroll up a month. And it can be very confusing to get back where you just were. And it's a lot harder to do it. But if you put it out on a piece of paper and you're looking at a sheet of paper, you can go through and check off. A lot of time management people tell you to make a list. If you wrestle with stuff, if you can't ever get stuff done, if you're, you know, well, I've got this problem, I got that problem, I can't figure out which is which and what's important, make a list. Just the act of writing something down can help you understand what you're dealing with. Once you define a problem, it's much easier to solve a problem. And too many people try to carry around too many problems in their head, and they never solve a problem. Get into a fight with your wife. I don't mean, please don't take it this way. Don't take notes about every fight you've had with your wife. But if you've got a situation you're arguing about, you can write it down And then it will help you stay to the facts of the situation, and you can look at it. And then when you get this solved, you can exit off. You've solved the problem. And the very act that you've solved a problem and you X that off gives a great sense of accomplishment. But if you just deal with the same problem over and over and over and over and over again, or you're trying to go from problem A to problem B to problem C to problem D, it's very hard to solve a problem. But writing stuff down, taking notes, really helps you a great deal because you see it and then it's easy to comprehend. You're not trying to maintain it on your up in your head. I don't have time to go into all of that. But that is a very, for anybody that's wrestling with stuff, anybody that's got problems that you feel are overwhelming, writing them down and then trying to come up with a solution for each point of the problem can really solve about half of your effort to get to the end of a problem. So, Proverbs 23 and 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The markism that I use, it matters what you say to yourself. That's a scripture you get that from. It matters what you say to yourself. What you think about in your heart is what you end up becoming. If you think, well, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'm terrible, I'm not going to be able to make it, I'm not going to be able to succeed, guess what you do? You don't make it. You don't succeed. You don't move forward because of what you think about yourself. You've got to think good things, godly things about yourself. Somebody help me and say amen. Amen. So F, the lust of the eyes then is a major source of temptation. There's lust of the eyes, pride of life, and there's three. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three, the Bible says, are the three big categories where we sin. So one third of our sin, I don't mean everybody's sin comes through is one third of the eye, but one third of the capacity to sin is based on what you look at. So should you manage what you look at? Absolutely. G, what the eyes indulge and enjoy, the body will indulge and enjoy. Let's look at Eve. Point one, Eve, Genesis 3 and 6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Look at the steps of that. She saw that it was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. That's some good-looking fruit right there that God doesn't want me to have. There's a lot of sins could be wrapped up in that statement. Man, there's some good-looking something that I want, and God doesn't want me to have it. But it looks so good. A lot of young people make that mistake. It looks so good to, and you name it, go party, run around, stay up half the night. It looks so good. It's so interesting to play, what's that video game to 4 in the morning? What video game is that that you play to 4 in the morning? Fortnite. See, I knew they'd tell me. All you got to do is ask them, and then they'll tell you what they do. And the whole idea, well, it looks good, but it's not good on a Saturday night to stay up half the night and then sleep through church. Didn't know I was going to go there, did you? So two, Achan, Joshua 7:27-21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and silver under it. So he saw, he longed for, he took, he hid. There's the steps of the downfall of a man. In fact, that became the downfall of his family. I looked, I saw, I wanted, I hid, and I kept it from everybody. Point three, David. 2 Samuel 11:2, and it came to pass in evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. He was at home instead of at battle. And he looked, he saw, she's beautiful. He took her. Again, the same thing. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you put in front of your eyes. In our day and age, and we'll talk about this maybe in a minute, but in our day and age, pornography and sexual stuff is so prevalent. It's on the sides of buses. It's in almost every ad is some sort of sexually suggestive. Every magazine, Good Earth, has pictures of women in short shorts and low-cut tops. And I mean, you name any magazine, and they're going to have ads in there, and people are generally about half naked. And it works is the problem. It drives people. The alcohol, the County Mountie up in Canada that had a beautiful woman in a lodge up in the mountains and a fire going, and she's a beautiful dress, and he's drinking Crown Royal or whatever it is he's drinking. You know, and it's all about that view. It's advertising, and it's what you see, and something about, listen to me, advertising works. There's something about you seeing it, and all of a sudden you think, you know what, I don't have that. I'd like a beautiful cabin in the top of the mountains, dressed like a thin, muscular County Mountie, and have a beautiful woman in a long, slinky dress in this cabin up there all by ourselves. Doesn't that, I better not ask you, does that sound good? Because I'd hate for some of you to say, yes, it does. But in a certain way, if there's something going on inside of you, it can. Listen, my dad came in drunk and would throw up and pass out, and my brothers came in and threw up on me. I was in bed, and they'd come on, hold on to the end of the bed, wake me up going, and I'd sit up and they'd throw up all over me. And I thought, I never have really thought, you know, man, that looks cool. The TV ads never did draw me. James Bond never drew me thinking, you know what, I think if I got some brown liquor, put it over ice, and stood there, I could be James Bond. But sometimes that can be a very alluring image that people are drawn to. Well, it looks like they're having fun. It looks like they're enjoying themselves. It doesn't look like the Marlboro man ended up with lung cancer. Or the guy that's drinking there ended up with liver problems. They don't advertise that. But that is the end result with lots of things. We must guard our eyes. Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And that's the statement I'm making here. I hate the things that people turn aside after. And it's hidden so deep in our hearts that you can hide it for years and then yield to it. People wrestle with depression, wrestle with the idea of suicide over a long period of time, and then finally give in to something like that. You can't set wickedness before your eyes. hate the work of those that turn aside. Don't let it cleave to you. B, Satan knows that the mind is the most easily reached through the eye and therefore brings temptation before our eyes. Point one, firstly, it's a way to bring suggestion to our mind we had not previously considered. I hope you notice the liberals have been on an absolute tear over the last 20 years to rename everything. They want everything to sound acceptable. You want an abortion? It's not killing a baby. It's just a fetus. It's not part of you. For a while, Planned Parenthood tried to say it's like a disease. It's infecting your body and you need to get rid of it. And now they're calling it woman's health care. This is women's health care. How can you deny a woman to be healthy? And in order to be healthy, she has to eliminate another life. Well, that doesn't make sense once you finish the sentence, but they're never going to finish the sentence. They're going to always define it the way they define it. There was a conversation about that fighter that beat up a woman, and I don't know all the facts. I really don't know all the facts, but I've seen it that gentleman was excluded from other fights because he had XY chromosomes. And it's pretty clear that you have an XX or XY, and XX is women and XY is male. But I read an article today. I'm trying to keep up with the discussion about stuff. And read an article today. And one of the major magazines posted an article and says, we all know that a woman can be XY. As if that was settled fact. And I know what they're saying because a man can get pregnant. According to our liberal perspective individuals, right? And so they're somebody that's over 50. Did you ever hear when you were in your 20s that a man could get pregnant? Anybody ever hear that kind of a conversation? Anybody in, well, let's call it in your 40s. Did you ever hear until this last 15 or 20 years that men could get pregnant? Were you taught that in school, in biology, that men can get pregnant? They're taught that they can't handle it, yeah. Well, men understand pregnancy. We've had colds, so. I'm just saying. You know, it lasts 3 or 4 weeks. I understand 9 months of pregnancy just by that. I'm just kidding, obviously, just kidding. Our bodies aren't made for it. I love the little, there's a little girl on a TV show, and she's about 6 or 7, and she's got, she might even be younger than that. There's a skeleton there. She's got a little pointer, and she's explaining to Steve Harvey all the different bones and, you know, all the knee and all the different pieces. And she's naming them medically accurate, using the correct medical names. And she's defining them. And then she finally comes down to the pelvis. And she said, now the pelvis is the only bone in the body that is gender specific. A male pelvis and a female pelvis are different. A male's is different. There is no opening for, there is no room for a man to produce a child. But a female's is designed to have an opening that's large enough to push out a child, and they're different. And this little girl, little 5 or 6 year old, is pointing at the pelvis, and she is explaining the difference between a male pelvis and a female pelvis. And you just can't make it up. God made us different. I mean, that's just all there is to it. God made us different. And yet, our society is trying to change language. And if you're not careful and not paying attention, you can fall into the trap of accepting a language that leads you somewhere that you shouldn't go. use biblical language. So important. So he brings suggestions. Number two, these thoughts become embedded. Some of the talking heads, the conservative talking heads, call it the woke mind virus. Elon Musk, that's his statement for what's going on. He lost one of his children who they convinced to become transgender, and his child had surgeries, and I don't know all the details of it, but I think his child ended up committing suicide. And so he is very much anti-woke agenda. And he calls it the woke mind virus. Because once that terminology gets in your head, it becomes acceptable. And you can't hardly get it out. Let me say that again. Let me say that to our young people. Listen to me, all of you under 20, under 25. You got to be very careful. Because our world is so good and changing the meaning and saying something, you can find things. Look at our world. They're finding all kinds of stuff that's acceptable today that 10 years ago would have been fully rejected. Fully rejected. But in the last 5 or 10 years, our society is accepting the woke mind virus. It gets in your head, you don't even realize it's there, and then you start thinking these kind of things are acceptable. And you've got to be very careful. Now that's the ear, but we're talking about the eye, but it's important to know. They become embedded and they return to tempt you. Number three, thirdly, by constant exposure to certain sites and their associated ideas, you become desensitized. Jeffrey Dahmer started out with pornography as a teenage boy. And then he wasn't satisfied with just basic pornography. He had to go into hardcore pornography. And then he wasn't satisfied with hardcore pornography. He had to go the next level. And then he went the next level. And then he started fantasizing about what it would be like. And then he killed his first victim. And then he began fantasizing about eating his victims. And I don't know how he made that leap, but somewhere in his mind, listen to me, he didn't find it offensive to begin eating, cutting parts away, and saving them to cook later. And he slew over 50, if the stories are accurate, over 50 men, and he met with, I think it was Charles Swindoll, went down and sat with him, or maybe it was James Dobson, went down and sat with him and had a conversation with him, and he talked about the spiral, and he didn't realize that he needed to get off this downward spiral, and he kept going deeper and deeper and deeper. Sin is never satisfied with a little bit. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And once you start forgiving yourself and pardoning yourself, it can be very problematic. You don't know how far down the hole that you'll go. See, Matthew 15, 19 says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, the things that come outside of your heart. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Now, it can get you sick. Wash your hands before you eat. Young people, wash your hands before you eat. Some of you older guys, wash your hands before you eat. It makes a difference. But it is, and we're talking about your soul, it's what happens inside of your soul. Isaiah 33, 15. "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high, and the place of defense shall be munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure." A mental attitude, a holy attitude is what Scripture is talking about. So There's printed material, what the eye sees, the mind paints a picture of. I've said this before, and I don't really have time to dwell with it all, but do you realize inside of your eye, inside of every one of your eyes, listen to me, inside of every one of your eyes, you have a hole in your vision. Both eyes have a hole in your vision. I want you to find it right now. Where is it? Look straight ahead. Can you see where the hole is? Do you know what your mind does? Covers it up. Your brain actually prevents you from seeing what your eyeballs actually see. Y'all remember I did this maybe 2 years ago. I showed a little video on the screen, and it was people dressed in white playing basketball and people dressed in black playing basketball, and they were throwing the ball back and forth. And I asked everybody in the room, look at these people. Tell me how many times people dressed in white throw the ball. And they threw the ball and threw the ball and threw the ball, and it's about a minute long. You watch that, and people are counting. And then I asked, okay, how many times did they throw? And people said, well, 15 or 16, you know, I'm not sure. Then I asked, who saw the bear? And almost nobody saw that a man dressed in a bear suit walked right through the middle of them throwing balls, and nobody even noticed it. It was on the screen, but you weren't looking at it. My wife wrestles with me on this all the time. I said, honey, come here to the fridge. I don't know where you put the, and you name whatever it is. I don't know why you have to hide stuff. Just put it in the fridge where I can find it. She said, sitting right there in the fridge. No, it's not. I'm telling you, it's not here. I don't see it. And she walks in, and it's sitting on the top shelf in front of whatever else is there. And I... did not see it. I'm telling you, I looked for it. I expected to see it, but for whatever reason, I looked over it. And there are times when I've looked at something and I said, well, typically it's in the back of the refrigerator. So I was looking over everything in the front and trying to find it in the back. Or I was looking in a certain area, having expectation that this is where it normally is, and it wasn't there. And so I looked stupid. And she calls me, honey. That's what she calls me. So your mind paints a picture. So I wish I could deal with this in a way that would really capture your attention. Sometimes our expectations are a problem. How many people come into church and say, well, that's not the way I expected it to be? And if it's not what I expect, then it's unacceptable. And our expectations prevent us. Sometimes they prevent us from God working in our lives. Because we expected our life to go this way. And if our life goes this way, man, we have problems with that. We wrestle with God doing it His way. When I don't understand why God doesn't do it my way. Why God doesn't meet my expectations of how it ought to be done. Anybody ever wrestle with your own expectations and the way God actually works? And it's different? So it's your mind writing, well, this is the way it should be, or this is what I expect to see. And you've got to be very, very careful. Acts 19 and 19. Many of them, which also curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So we must be careful also what we read. What is read becomes a thought. The thought paints a picture. And then the picture stimulates further thought, and you build and you build and you build and you build. Depression hear me, listen to me. I know people wrestle with depression and oppression. Depression is oftentimes your mind got in a track and you couldn't get off the track. And you loop and you loop and you loop. And you loop. And depression is often a rutted path that you can't get your wheels out of. But it is not permanent. You do not have to stay on that path. You can change your thoughts. Listen, everybody wrestles with a little bit of depression at some point or another. My life's not going the way I thought it was going to go. I wish it was better, whatever. Read something. Do something different. Go somewhere different. Go hear a concert. Get a couple friends that are new friends and go hear a concert. Take a trip. Go to Lake Michigan, sit in the sand, watch the ocean or the Lake Michigan. Go to Redimax, get the hamburger and fries, feed the birds. Take my kids, they'll stuff French fries in your belt buckle or whatever for the birds to eat out of your back pocket. Have different experiences. Go to the altar. Find yourself a place of prayer. And pray differently. Prayer of thanksgiving. Look what all God has blessed me with. Look at all the good things God has put in my life. Everybody can find good things that God has done. So Acts 19 and 19, the value of those items was $32,000. The material was curious arts, witchcraft, and the occult. The Christian should not read or possess books with the following content: pornography, occult material, books filled with explicit sex and obscenity, and you almost have to quit going to the bookstore or to the library. In elementary schools anymore, it has become, some of the books they're hawking in elementary schools in the library are nothing less than pornography. Nothing less than pornography and perversion. And pay attention to what your kids do. Don't let them be unfettered in their access and what they read. Television, movies. Television has a potential for good, been utilized in a much more negative way than a positive way. It's dominated by evil, violence, illicit sex, and other sins. Dangers of television, televised movies, their source of temptation because they feed the lust, which defiles the mind, that modify behavior by breaking down resistance to sin. Back in the 80s, there was one TV show, maybe it was the late 70s, there was one TV show that had a gay man. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Huh? I can't hear you. No, not a soap. It was an evening show and had a gay man, and he never had a gay boyfriend or anything like that, but he was a gay man, and he had a woman that they were friends. Huh? No, not Three's Company, because he wasn't gay. But there was a show, and that was the 70s. There was a show, and it was really the first gay character. And today, huh? Designing Women? No. Will and Grace, that was it. Will and Grace.
That's the
90s,
not the
70s. No, I said 80s. So, but think, my point is, we can easily get off topic here. My point is, think about what that was and now what goes on. You almost can't have a show without some illicit behavior. Anyway, present false values such as sin pays, might makes right, sex appeal is all important. Okay, so here's a couple thoughts. Here's a couple thoughts that are very popular. And they're mind viruses. You got to do what feels good. Love is love. Anybody heard that? There's a couple of others like that, that if you believe them, you got to do what's right for you. Everybody has their own ideas. You got to do what's best for you. And so the idea comes that there's no standard. And it's prevalent. Sunday, after we had great church, walked outside and a guy rode by on his bicycle. And I said, "Hey, how are you?" I was getting in my wife's car and we were fixing to leave. Nobody in the parking lot. And he rode by on his bicycle and said, "Hey, how are you?" He rode by her car and he turned around and looked at me and said, "F Jesus." I said, "Man, have a good day." Right outside that door, before the back of the building, I don't know why he felt compelled. I was wearing a suit, but he felt compelled to assault what I represented. Whatever I represented to him, I don't know what I represented. But whatever it was, he felt necessary to assault and tear it down. And so you can get to the place where you believe a virus. You believe that sin pays. Might does make right. D says they're a thief of time. There are things that just steal your time. Ephesians 5:16 tells us we should redeem the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5 states that walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. I'm not going to take time to talk about TV statistics, but there's a lot of them that tell you the negative impact of TV. I've got to hurry. Anything that appeals to the carnal nature is hard to control. TV is fascinating and easy to watch, but hard to turn off. We overestimate our ability to resist its influence. I think sports is a woke mind virus in many ways, because you can just get so caught up in it. And people are spending billions of dollars betting on stuff, games and the Olympics and all that stuff. And yes, it's interesting. Yes, somebody overcomes obstacles, wrestles with stuff, and they achieve. And there's some positive values in seeing some of that. But honestly, there's some of it that is very detrimental. I'm not getting any amens. If you get too caught up in it, my dad had liver problems and was waiting on a liver. And one day we were doing something and my dad said, "We got to get home." Now my dad's command sergeant major. He was in charge of 1,000 men. He started a real estate company. We had 5 real estate offices that he was the managing partner for 5 real estate offices. He had realtors all over town, largest real estate office and 250,000 people, plus 150,000 people on base. So a large city, a large area, very busy. He got liver problems, and one day it shocked me. He said, "I got to get home." I said, "Well, Dad, you know, what's the big deal?" He said, well, I got to get home, and I forget what time it was. It said, I got to be home by 3 o'clock as the world turns. Is on, and I've got to see what's happening. And I'm sorry, I just couldn't imagine my dad, helicopter mechanic, worked with his hands, was addicted to that show. It really was, to me, it was very shocking. That I've never seen that in my father ever. It's so quiet in here, I've got to ask, what are you addicted to? I don't hear a lot of amens or even people nodding. It's like, I'm going to step on everybody's toes here. Everybody's going to get equal stepped on tonight. The positive content is minimal. There's entertainment in your house. Everything you do may not be right or wrong, but does it point you in the right direction? Is it pointing you in the right direction? Some things are inconsequential, but some things really do matter. And then there's home video. You can do the same thing with it. I'll skip that. Video games. Man, some of our young adults, y'all get really caught up in video games and stay half the night. Listen, I'm the pastor. I want your kids to really be benefited. When they come in on Sunday morning and they get to class and they go, dear Lord, somebody set some priorities in your kids' lives. Look at that. Time for you to go to bed. When you get to be 18 or 19 and you move out, stay up all night if you want. I'm not paying your rent. You want to spend all your time playing video games, it'll be on your dime. Folks, you that have small kids, they're building their lives. Grand Theft Auto probably is not the thing to build their lives on. Especially all night long, and then not be able to be awake for church. And I don't think that's 50 of our kids. And sometimes some things are out of our control with mixed families and homes and all of that kind of stuff. But wow, you know, the internet is really very interesting, and it has so much to give. But I was there in the early stages of the internet. Do you know why the internet became so popular? The number one reason that the internet became so popular, and this is in the 90s, the number one reason. What was the number one use for the internet? Pornography. Number one. The reason it became so popular is people could find stuff online and access it from their homes and not have to go out and go to the DVD store and rent a DVD or buy something, have it delivered or whatever. You could access it on the internet. You know what the most popular thing on the internet today? Pornography. Hadn't changed. Number one thing is pornography. Why? Because sex sells. And it may be a problem if you're watching it. And this applies for men or women. it used to be prevalent that it was men, but now there are channels and they're trying to appeal to ladies. 45% of homes with children 12 to 17 have internet access. Children between the ages of 5 and 18 will spend an estimated $1.3 billion online by 2002. Old statistics. Much worse today. 67% of online teens and 37% of online children have researched product items or bought products online. It's super popular for small kids. Parents quit their jobs so they can play games with their children and video them, and there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that watch parents play games with small children. And you spend several years watching the kids, and it's so popular that the toy makers send their latest games for free, so they'll open them up and play with them. And the people that are recording the videos are making $30 to $40 to $50 million a year because it's all driven by advertising. If you watch their show, you see it's a 20-minute show, there's going to be about 8 minutes of advertising in there, and they get paid for every time there's an ad that shows up on their show. And so that advertising is worth so much, they're paying them $30, $40, $50 million. Think about what that says about those little bitty ads that pop up in every video. It must be highly effective. Have you ever clicked on something? Have you ever bought something? It's the funniest thing in the world. My wife and I talk about something. I mentioned I fell and I've got this lump on my hip that's bothering me. And we talked about it. And I said, you know, should I go get it checked? You know, we talked back and forth and we just kind of talked about it. I sat down and opened up my computer and I opened up Facebook and I saw an ad. If you go right now to Goshen Hospital for $67, you can have your hip checked out. And Facebook's listening to me. Google is listening to me. So they can advertise to me. Wow. You know, what you say matters. What you say in the privacy of your own home between your husband and wife. We're empty nesters. We're the only ones talking about stuff. And then it pops up. So I got to get quickly to the end because I can only do what you can stand. Psalms 19:1, look at page 41, that extra page I handed out. So that's all the negative, and I don't really have time to emphasize. I really want to, the positive. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Exodus 33:18. Then Moses said, "Show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." What a day that was when God showed His glory. For the rest of Moses' life, his face glowed. I think for the rest of his life, he had to wear a veil when he was out in public because it impacted him. Your eyes, I'd spent too much time being negative, but your eyes are intended to see the goodness of God, the glory of God, the life-changing transformation power of God in somebody's life. Man, I can't tell you how uplifting it is to see somebody turn their life around, leave addiction, leave alcoholism, leave whatever, and find the goodness of God and the glory of God as they lift their hands, raise their hands, and magnify God. That is a beautiful sight to see. There is nothing better in the earth, I don't think, than someone who's turned their lives over to God. Isaiah 6:3, when they're calling one another, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory." Psalms 29:2, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters the sea. Romans 1:21, for creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen and understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Think about that. We who see with unveiled eyes. Lord, help us to see with unveiled eyes. Help us to see the goodness and the glory of the Almighty God with unveiled eyes and not get caught up in seeing just what the world wants us to see. Amen. Guard your eyes. Guard your heart. Makes all the difference in the world.
As our ushers make their way down, just a few announcements. Saturday night.